If you've missed a show, the full audio library is at RadioMD.com. And now back to you, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
And we're back with you, the Owner's Manual Radio Show. And I'm Bridget Tidgemeier, filling in for Dr. Roizen. You can listen to us on RadioMD.com, iHeartRadio, our affiliate stations in Jacksonville and Tampa, Florida, and other stations throughout the country. So let's get back to the top medical news of the week. We were talking about pedometers and maybe not needing a high-tech pedometer and being able to use the low-tech pedometers to track your steps. So there's a number of really high-tech options on the market, including Fitbit and Jawbone. But it's interesting that they've found in studies that the low-tech pedometers can be just as effective because it's the awareness piece that's the most important for people to realize how many steps they're taking and to set goals for getting to 10,000 steps before they fall asleep. And they actually, research has shown that pedometers help people improve their steps. There was a big study that was done in the Journal of the American Medical Association, and they examined 26 studies that involved almost 3,000 people, and they found that pedometer users increase their physical activity by 26.9% over baseline, which is that 30% that Dr. Roizen had referenced in the first hour when I had initially guessed that people increased their activity by 60%. So I was a little overeager with my estimate, but it's actually 26.9%. that your physical activity can be increased. And the steps, if you have a high-tech tracker like a Fitbit or a Jawbone, they have found that the steps are the most accurate piece of those high-tech devices, and that ultimately the success of all of the products come from empowering users to accurately see their overall health and to trend their fitness over time. Which actually leads me to the next story about tuning into your body and being more aware of your health, and it can actually make you healthier. So they did this really interesting study that was released this past week, and they looked at, they found that people who are mindful, that scored high on mindful tests, that they had better health outcomes. So the researchers said that self-aware people have better heart health and they have higher heart healthy indicators. So the study included 382 people, and the researchers measured their level of mindfulness. They looked at the dispositional mindfulness, which is the type when you're a person who's extremely aware and attentive to exactly how you're feeling and what thoughts are going through your head at any moment in time. And the results were really cool. They found that people with high mindfulness scores had an 83% greater prevalence of good cardiovascular health. And what they also found is that the people that scored highest with the best mindfulness scores had a higher score of cardiovascular health indicators. And they looked at the 7 health cardiovascular health indicators from the American Heart Association, which include smoking, physical activity, healthy body mass index, consumption of fruits and vegetables, maintaining good cholesterol, blood pressure, and also fasting blood glucose levels. And so they found that these people had better markers of all of these things when they were also very mindful, and the association appeared to be the strongest for factors that included smoking, body mass index, fasting glucose, and physical activity. So what the researchers concluded is that increasing our awareness and our mindfulness could help impact a person's health. And they were talking about whether mindfulness can be taught, which I believe that it can be. A lot of times when I'm working with our patients in the Center for Functional Medicine, I explain to them that mindfulness, meditation, incorporating mindful breathing into your day is all a matter of practicing it. It's like any other sport or any other habit that or skill that you're trying to develop, where it requires a lot of practice and it can be difficult to jump into when you're not used to doing so. So I would encourage the audience to consider trying to incorporate more activities that help increase mindfulness, because we know that mindful breathing can make you more aware of what's going on around you internally, and that practices like yoga, that's one of the main benefits, or a huge benefit that comes out of it, is being more mindful, being more self-aware, and being more in tune with your breath, your posture, and your mind and your thoughts. So I think that's a really cool story. That was one of my favorites from this week. Sonar, do you use any mindful techniques?
Yes, I do. I usually do it in the morning.
Do you?
Yep.
For how long?
Gotta give the first 10 minutes to yourself.
I completely agree with that. I often recommend that to our patients. Sonar's our engineer that's with us every week, and so we want a lot of his input since I'm flying solo this hour.
The way I look at it is meditation is like every thought throughout the day is adding another string or another line to the knot that's in your head already. If you just take 10 minutes and just straighten out all of those strings, it doesn't look so clustered.
Wow, that's such a good way to put it. I completely agree. I also think that it helps a lot because so much of our day is focused on giving to other people. That's what I find a lot in our patients, specifically our female patients, where they always talk about how they focus so much of their energy on pleasing everyone else around them. I think
it's
a motherly instinct.
Giver syndrome, isn't it?
Yes.
Worry about
that they never take
else's
time.
Health.
Yeah, that they never take time to think about themselves. So that's awesome that you do that. I think that it's really helpful. At least that's what we've seen in our patients, and that's what they found in the study. So that's cool. What about tea, Sonar? Do you drink any tea?
Yes, I do. I try to get at least 3 cups in a day.
Wow. I'm so
impressed.
That's
it. I've been the producer long enough. I got to learn something.
That's true. Over the commercial break, Sonar was talking about how he's picked up so many things that he never thought that he would by working on the radio show. Which is good, and like Dr. Roizen said in the first hour, that Joe Galuski has picked up a lot of tips for himself and his personal care as he's going through his own health problems. So hopefully that's going to help him further along his journey to healing.
Well, I heard 3 to 4 cups a day helps with hypertension, a whole bunch of anxiety and stuff, but you have to start with a regimen. It doesn't just happen overnight. You have to do it over a course of about 2 weeks or so, and it starts actually bringing down a lot of your stress levels.
Wow, Sonar, you are like so on key right now. So this new study that just came out this past week is found almost exactly what you just said. So you're ahead of the researchers in knowing this. They looked at 25 randomized control trials and explored the association between drinking tea and blood pressure. And they found, just as Sonar just said, that in the short term, tea didn't seem to make a difference on the participants' blood pressure. But long-term tea intake had a significant impact. So when people were drinking tea for after 12 weeks, they found that there was an average blood pressure decline by 2.6 for the systolic blood pressure, and which is the top number, and then 2.2 for the diastolic. And they found that green tea was the most effective and that black tea was the second most effective, and they found no difference between caffeinated and decaffeinated tea. We'll be right back after the commercial. You're listening to You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show. I'm Bridget Tigemeyer, filling in for Dr. Roizen. Thank you for listening. Stay well.